Nice to see you, all of you. Normally, Guru Purnima, I give a long talk about Guru traditions and all the rest of it. But I don't think I'll do it today. I'm just going to see what's in your mind and what's in my mind. And maybe we'll sing a song. I've got a few songs which I very rarely sing, but which are very close to my heart, and probably you won't know them, or maybe you will, but we're going to try and sing them anyway and see what happens. So if I play a bum note, bear with me, because I'm a bit rusty. First of all, there's no doubt in my mind that the guru principle, I would say, it's an inner thing. And it comes from the very depths of our being. And it is true, I mean, if you're very thick-skinned, as I am, or maybe if I can be a bit pretentious, as I was perhaps, but I still think I am thick-skinned, then it's very useful to have a teacher, a guru. And it needn't be in India. I mean, because I was so thick-skinned, I had to go to India to shake me out of my obsession with intellect and my strongly held assumptions about things. And, you know, we're very heavenly conditioned as human beings. And, of course, through our culture and society and religion or non-religion, education, I mean, all these things, we are conditioned by them. And so it has to be, actually. We can't function in human society unless we're conditioned. If everyone is just doing their own thing and completely doolally, then society wouldn't exist, of course. Society exists because more or less we buy into a particular way of functioning. You know, that's the way it is. We have to accept that, really. But if we're looking a bit deeper when we start yoga or meditation and all these kind of things, then not that we need to renounce our conditioning, or some of it would be nice to get rid of, I mean, that's true, especially emotional stuff. But no, we don't need to renounce, you know, social conditioning. You know, the fact that in this country we drive on the left-hand side, and if you go to France, it'll be on the right-hand side. You know, that's just the way it is. We don't need to get too uptight about it. But we need to realize, and we can't intellectually understand it, but through starting to, how should we say, through meditation. Of course, meditation is an absolutely essential part of yoga. Without the meditative part, then yoga is not yoga, there's no question. This starts to give us an idea that our conditioning is conditioning. And by seeing this, so we can start to open up to a wider picture. We don't need to create it, because it is already there. As human beings, we just have to open up to it. And whilst we're full of concepts, ideas of all kinds of things, we're not open to it, because our own mind creates a veil. So, in people like me who, I repeat, a bit thick-skinned and stuck in their heads. So it's useful to have a teacher just to show you where you are blocked. I don't think an external teacher, guru, whatever it is, really teaches you anything. If they teach you anything, it's to show you directly or indirectly where we are stuck in a particular obsession or way of thinking. What we are actually fundamentally is always there. There's absolutely no question. And as human beings, we have this possibility of realizing this. I gave a satsang last week, and we were talking about consciousness in animals and so forth. And one woman from Scotland comes here very often. She said she'd been reading a book on the soul of an octopus. And that was it, you know, it was very interesting. And then yesterday the book came. She sent it to me, I didn't ask her, but she did. And I've read about 10 pages. It's absolutely fascinating because a creature so weird and wonderful like an octopus, which has three hearts, its brain apparently is wrapped around its throat, wherever that is. It doesn't use, it's got blood, but the blood is blue. And why is it blue? Because it doesn't use iron to carry oxygen around its blood. It uses copper. Did you know that? I didn't know that either until I read the book. And this, I said, I've only read 10 pages. There's another 180 to go, so we'll see what it brings up. But I was reading this, I think this is absolute. And this guy said, he said, when I'm looking at an octopus, what I really feel, whether it's a projection or whether it's a fact, who knows, what I really feel is that whilst I'm, with my eyes, studying the behaviour of this octopus, the octopus is also studying his behaviour. And I'm sure that is true also. It's difficult for us to understand because we're human beings and we think, you know, we know everything and animals are just animals. But I think this is not true, absolutely not true. So what is incredible about the human being, and now I'm starting to think maybe octopuses can actually have this potential that we have also. As human beings, despite our conditioning, we have this capacity, this potential to realize what is underlying our individual embodiment. Now, if you'd have told me that when I was a kid, I would have just laughed and, you know, rubbish. But actually, it's a fact. Each of us as human beings, we can realize the very basis. And when I say basis, I don't mean the body. The body is extraordinary in itself, that's true. Doesn't mean the mind, which is also extraordinary. Where it is, I mean, who knows, but it's something more fundamental that defies our logic, but is not stupid. It's not even illogical, but it defines our capacity to intellectualize or logicifies, or whatever the word would be there. So does an octopus have the same faculty? Who knows? You know, this universe is so extraordinary, and science is, of course, opening up to this extraordinariness of the universe. You know, they've just discovered there's water on planet Mars, which most of you will know already. Who knows? They might find that there is life already there. They may find that life has been there, as they're thinking about the moon also. And I read a book which was recommended to me by Cliff. Is Cliff here? Not here. So, and it said that actually there are scientific indications that life, and I can't give you the exact quotation, but the exact findings even, that life is not something that's unique to planet Earth and something that's a strange bleep in the way that the universe flows. Actually, that life, the potential of life, is pre-existent in the entire universe. That's interesting, isn't it? Because we have the impression, you know, this is a big universe we live in and the Earth is here, and we are quite unique and possibly the only life forms in the whole universe. But actually, there is... I can't give you the proof. Maybe next time I sit here, I'll come with you with a few examples where they say actually life is pre-existent in the very structure of the universe. So it didn't need to come here from another planet. It's already here, and it's probably everywhere. And of course, in some places, maybe like the moon, it's kind of fizzled out, if it was there, because life was no longer, the environment was no longer propitious and so forth. So I'm kind of wandering all over the place, I hope you don't mind. So we are, have this extraordinary faculty, and a teacher doesn't need to be some exotic person with flowing robes and a halo as big as this, you know. Just the person who's teaching you yoga, or if you are teaching yoga, you know, your students and so forth, they can be expressions of what I would call the guru principle. It's something which is far more profound than any individual. And this is what the potential that we have as individuals. Do octopuses have it too? Do dogs have it? I don't know. Maybe they don't need it. Maybe it's because we're so dumb that we need it. I don't know. But we have it. We have this possibility of tuning in to this guru principle. And when that guru principle is evident, and no one can prove it to you, the proof is only in your own pudding. A person can give lectures on guru principle, and all the rest of it, till the cows come home, and it doesn't really impact. It would just be another bit of information in the intellect. It's something that we have to know undoubtedly, indisputably, in our own being, and this comes because we practice some kind of path, be it yoga, be it anything. There's lots of paths available. It doesn't need to be yoga, but of course my path is yoga, and so that's what I have some kind of expertise in. Any path that where we start to enter, turn our attention innerly. And this seems to be a contradiction. If you want to understand all this lot, why are you closing your eyes and looking in? You know, to people who don't practice, it seems to be counterintuitive, actually. But it's not. Because by turning our attention in, so we get an idea, an experience, a vision, an intuition, a realization of how we function, and by understanding how we function and what is the basis for our embodied existence, so we start to understand, obviously for human beings, you start to understand, well, that's what how I function, and that's what the basis of my being is. It's not that I've got it and no one else has. It's obvious, isn't it? Everyone's got it, actually. And I'm even going down the crazy path of wondering whether octopuses haven't got it. Anyway, I'm a bit, doolally maybe, but, you know, it's a strange universe that we live in, and it's full of wonders. And we see how science, for example, is growing exponentially in its understanding. This process will continue. Why will it continue? Because the universe is infinite. So, you know, the understanding that we have in science now, for example, in 10 years' time, in 20 years' time, in 100 years' time, it will be very different. And we have changed a lot in the last few hundred years from thinking that the planet Earth is the center of everything and everything revolves around the planet Earth. We've gone beyond that and realizing in the solar system only it's the sun that's the center, and more than that, we're going out into galaxies. We're realizing the sun is also moving around and galaxies are moving around. I mean, you know, our understanding scientifically has evolved enormously, and it will continue to. And what I think, as it is in quantum physics, that the process of people internalizing and going into the depths of their own being, this will also evolve in the present era. Because science and the inner science, as I would call it, the inner path, will find they are not mutually exclusive. They complement each other. And this doesn't surprise us, because scientists who discover some new law, they would admit it came from within as an insight, a flash, whatever you want to call it. So the very discovery of the universe depends very much on intuition. Yeah, okay, you've got telescopes and all the rest of it, that's true. But it depends on the faculties that we have within us. So, quantum physics, I don't know much about quantum physics, but what I do know about it is that quantum physics is pointing to the essential part of the equation, which is consciousness. Right? The physicists, the quantum physicists, are saying that phenomena depend on the observer. What is the observer? The observer is consciousness. And this is what mystical systems, yoga included, have been saying for eons, that the fundamental aspect of our being is the fact that we are conscious. And it's so obvious, but we miss it. Why do we miss it? Because we're stuck in our conceptual heads. We are using our concepts to try and understand. We are missing the very essential point that we are conscious of our conceptual functioning. We are conscious of our thinking. We are conscious of our emotions. And we're even conscious of our dreams too. When you dream, you are conscious actually. You don't remember often, some of you may. We don't remember because we don't give any importance to it. If we gave more importance to it and we didn't invest 99% of our attention in the big bad world in our daily life, if we gave more attention to our dreams, we would remember our dreams. But that's another story. The fact is that we are conscious. Last night I was having really weird dreams, and you know, all these weird things that are going on in dreams, all the different characters that you meet in your dreams, they're not conscious. You are conscious of them. So this is what I want to just put to you. We live in extraordinary times. We can get whizzed up by the 108 things we have to do every day. And do we know that life is speeding up and getting faster and faster? I don't know where it will end. It will probably end that most people are so stressed out of their mind that the whole system will collapse. I don't know. I don't hope not, because I think the modern world has given us so many things, gives us the possibility of sharing in this room. It gives us the possibility of getting here by transport and so forth, advertising and publicity and who knows what. So I don't say the modern world is terrible, but it's out of balance. And I think it's people like you, maybe me also, who are trying our best in all this turbulence and constant activity to try and find a still centre. And hopefully if more and more people on the planet, which is going on actually, a huge number of people, 5%, I don't know what it is, 10% of people practice some kind of inner path, then it may, if we find more and more the inner centre, the eye of the cyclone, if you like, then it may help a little bit to slow things down a bit. I remember I read somewhere recently there were some scientists talking to the Dalai Lama, and someone was saying, you know, I got from London to New York in 2 hours or something. And the Dalai Lama said, what's the hurry? It's true, what is the hurry? It's the quality of our life that's important. Running around like headless chickens, there's no point actually. It's the quality of our life that's important. And the quality of our life is being able to spend quality time, whether it's 5 minutes in the morning or 5 minutes in the evening or a bit longer if you have, or periodically during the daytime, where we can just stop a few seconds, internalize, find that still center, and then carry on with our life. It's quality that is important. And I think that's what I realized when I was quite young, when I was in my late teens, and I saw that there wasn't really quality. Everyone was having great fun, including myself, but the quality was not there. Everyone was flexing their muscles and look at me and I'm doing this and, you know. And I realized quite young, it's the quality of our life, so that we can realize the quality of our own being, that is most fundamental. And that quality is right here now, in this second, in this moment. When we allow the mind to stop, then that shanti, that peace, it's always there. Can you feel it now? Can you feel it? Maybe you can't, I don't know. Okay. It is there. And okay, we know there's lots of things in the world, you know, terrible wars and suffering. Even in our society here, there's so much suffering, it really makes me sad, actually. And I think it makes me more sad now than it used to, because you think, you know, if you're following a path, that you should become more inured, is that the right word, to it. But no, I feel more sadness now than I did 20, 30, 40 years ago, when I see people who are suffering, people who come here, who have terrible situations in their life, financial situations, relational situations, and I hear about, you know, all the suffering in Syria and Africa and who knows where, and I think I feel it more, actually. It's not the opposite, that you become very blasé about these things. That may be true, I'm not sure. It's not the case in me, you know, that's for sure. And they say that one person's suffering is your suffering. I think there's some truth in that, actually. I can't say that I feel suffering of a person, you know, on the other side of the planet, individually, but I can certainly feel the collective suffering. And it reminds me of Buddha, you know, that he said dukkha, suffering, frustration and all the rest of it. That is the nature of the world. It sounds negative, and I don't say it needs to be seen as negative, but it's a point, actually, you know, because the world is changing. There is constant change, and we can't grab hold of anything which seems to be constant. Even, you know, things that seem to be constant, like our house, our job, our husband, wife, kids, and who knows what, they're not. They change. It may take many years to change, but everything changes. The only constant, actually, is in the very depths of our being. That's where the only constant is. And I do think also that by the quality of our being, by the quality of our stillness, not all the time, time to time maybe, we can't be in a constant and meditative state, that's impossible. There are things to do. Sometimes we'll be up, sometimes we will be down, sometimes positive, sometimes negative. The important thing is that we really know, we know there is a still center. Maybe center is the wrong word even. There is a still basis at the very base of our personality. And I think the more that we contact that stillness, the more we can positively influence those around us. They say it, I mean, I don't know if it's true, but they say the TM group, that, you know, if so many people meditate in a certain area, crime rates go down and all these kind of things. I don't know if the research is correct, but I can see it. If people are more loving, more centered, more in touch with their calm base from time to time, more caring, then it has to have positive impact on the world around, the world in which we live. There is no question. It seems even logical. So when you practice yoga, whatever form of yoga you aspire to, you are not just practicing for yourself, you're practicing for others also. And I think this is a really good way of doing your practice. You're not practicing for liberation, nirvana, not practicing for any real reason. You're doing your practice. And if you have a reason, it can be so that I can be a better person for others. I think that's more noble, to be honest. Because we're not very different, actually. Everyone wants peace, even those who are fighting some war. In the very depths of their being, they're looking for some kind of peace or happiness. It may not be very elegant the way that they're going about it, that is true. But most, everyone, psychopaths I'm not sure about, but I think everyone, it's a need of human beings to find peace, happiness, peace, same thing actually. So, I don't know if you've got any questions, otherwise we'll do a bit of chanting. Are there any questions? Right, do a bit of chanting then. I'm really pleased you've come, and I'm pleased that you brought the rain with you. We need it. Now, I haven't played this one for a long time, but I used to play it a lot in India, and it's very, very meaningful. Shivo Hum, I don't know what play it is. I think, does anyone here know it? Right, this is going to be a real challenge then, isn't it? Anyway, I've got to plug on. If it sounds horrible, it doesn't matter. We're having fun. Shivo Hum. Oh.
Adam.
Yeah.
Chanda Vasuraj May Ahapasa Jessica.
Oh,
sure you don't know it. You were singing so beautifully. I was pretty impressed, actually. I think you're putting my leg. I think you've all sang it before and you've been practicing or something. Anyway, we're going to sing something, an English song, Doors of My Heart, which I think relates very much to this Guru Purnima, actually.
Doors of my heart open wide, I pray for thee.
Doors of my heart open wide, I pray for thee.
Doors of my heart open wide, I pray for thee.
Doors of my heart open wide, I pray for thee.
Open wide, open wide, open wide and set me free.
Open wide. Open wide, open wide and set me free.
Open wide, open wide, open wide and set me free.
Open wide, open wide, open wide and set me free.
Doors of my heart, open wide, I pray for thee.
Doors of my heart, open wide, I pray for thee.
Doors of my open wide, I pray for thee.
Doors of my heart, open wide, I pray for thee.
Night and day and night, night and day, I wait for thee.
Night and day and night, night and day, I pray for thee.
Night and day and night, night and day, I wait for thee.
Night and day and night, night and day.
Doors of my heart open wide, I pray for thee.
Doors of my heart open wide, I pray for thee.
Let me see, let me see, let me see my Guruji.
Let me see, let me see, let me see my Guruji.
Let me see, let me see, let me see my Guruji.
Let me see, let me see. Let me see my Guruji.
Doors of my heart open wide, I pray for thee.
Doors of my heart open wide, I pray for thee.
Doors of my heart open wide, I pray for thee.
Doors of my heart open wide, I pray for thee.
Open wide, open wide, open wide and set me free.
Open wide, open wide, open wide and set me free.
Open wide, open wide, open wide and set me free.
Open wide, open wide, open wide and set me free.
Doors of my heart, open wide, I pray for thee.
Doors of my heart, open wide, I pray for thee.
Doors of my heart. Open wide, I pray for thee.
Doors of my heart, open wide, I pray for thee.
Night and day and night, night and day, I wait for thee.
Night and day and night, night and day, I wait for thee.
Night and day and night, night and day, I wait for thee.
Night and day and night, night and day, I wait for thee.
Night and day, I wait for thee.
Night and day and night, night and day, I wait for thee.
Doors of my heart, open wide, I pray for thee.
Doors of my heart, open wide, I pray for thee.
a Govinda. I don't know what page it is. Something to find out.
One one five.
Krishna Govinda Govinda Gopala.
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 Bring it down here and someone can show you. Keep them out of mischief.
I'm worried I'm scaring the cat.
You may convert your cat into a yogi cat or something. Where do you live?
Lincolnshire,
it's a fair whack, isn't it?
Yes,
good distance. Do you know, I tell you, I've got the perfect answer. You know Ram?
Yes.
He's fantastic.
Is he? Oh, okay.
You just nobble him.
Yes.
And get him to teach the harmonium.
Okay.
He's a fantastic singer and he's very good.
Yeah, okay.
In fact, I'll send him an email and tell him you should teach her.
Yeah, that's good.
He'd love to teach her anyway.
Yeah, no, it'd be good.
Any chance to sing and play harmonium, he just goes for it.
Excellent.
So you can...
arrange some visits.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Yeah, that's easy solved. I think we're going to... I'd like to sing on until lunchtime, but my voice is getting a bit jaded. So I think... I had plans. I was going to sing the Guru Bandana also, which I should love. Another one which I like is the Nachi Bola Nat, with it's your favourite, so I'm tempted to sing it, but let's try. If I start croaking, you're at this recording today. What page is it? You see, I've got it. It fell open. It has that. 99. We're all dancing, you see, and this is about the dance. The dance of Shiva's dancing. I mean, this universe and everything is just dancing, and we're part of the dance. So, let's dance, that's what I say.
Dimaka, dimaka, dimma, dimaka, dimaka, dimma, nachi, rohanna.
Dimaka, dimaka, dimma, dimaka, dimaka, dimma, nachi, rohanna.
Dimaka, dimaka, dimma, dimaka, dimaka, dimma, nachi,
Nachi Bola Nat.
dimmer, Nazi Bolenard.
I'm a bit rusty, you can see that. It's a good song. Right, let's sit quietly, I think, for a couple of minutes. Just adjusting your body, removing any stiffness. You don't need to be in pain. Just try and eliminate stiffness as much as you can. Feeling in your heart the fact that we exist is an absolute mystery. We may talk about the Big Bang and everything came out of a point and singularity and all the rest of it, but this does not in any way touch an explanation as to why we are sitting here as conscious beings. The fact that we know that the body is composed of different elements, molecules, cells, organs, and all the rest of it, the complexity of the physical body, still does not explain the fact that we exist. We are born, and we grow, there's something more mysterious than the nuts and bolts. And we are all an expression of that mystery. And bringing your attention to the heart space, they say that the pulse of the universe expresses through your heartbeat. This may be slight poetic license, I don't know. But I do know by opening our heart, the universe starts to reveal its mysteries to us.
So we chant on to acknowledge this mystery. And then we finish with Shantipat, the invocation of peace. We chant together. Om, breathing deeply. Om.
Loka samasta sukhino.